Shingle, Oladamare, Jenyami, Olarun, God, Jehovah, Allah, Amun-Ra, the many names for the original ancestor, the ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our requests will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgeries, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lined the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you, and we honor you, and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listenings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice, your hard work. And we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation, libation, libation. It is good.
That people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From the slaughter, so we're gonna give me a sad, a sad, a sad, a sad. What's up, man?
Let me get
you. Tell me.
All right,
good looking out.
Peace.
Now, hold on, I got no
grip.
What you got, man? Let me get you
out. All right. I plan to go down. I told you I'm going to get it. Look. Bust it.
Listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hey, 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 it's your girl Maya Marie, and welcome to another episode of the After 7 Radio Show. Tonight's ancestral profile is the mysterious and iconic Bob Marley. Robert Nesta Marley, a.k.a. Bob Marley, was born February 6, 1945, in 9 Mile St. Anne Parish, Jamaica. He was a Jamaican singer, songwriter, and musician. Bob Marley attended Stepney Primary and Junior High School. He and his childhood friend, Neville Livingston, later known as Bunny Wailer, started to play music together as young children. Their interest for music deepened, and they began to explore the latest R&B from U.S. radio stations, whose broadcast reached Jamaica. Soon, he and his friend Bunny, along with a few others, found themselves in a vocal group. Joe Higgs was part of the successful vocal act Higgs and Wilson, and Marley and his group would congregate around the duo. Marley and his group didn't play any musical instruments at the time and wanted to focus on their harmony and vocals. Higgs was glad to help them develop their harmonies vocally, but more importantly, he began to teach Marley how to play the guitar. This would create the foundation that would later allow Marley to create some of the biggest selling reggae songs in the history of the genre. He began his professional music career in 1963 after forming Bob Marley and the Wailers. They released their debut studio album, The Wailing Wailers, in 1965, which contained the single One Love, People Get Ready. The song was popular worldwide and established the group as a rising figure in reggae. The Wailers went on to release 11 studio albums. Initially, the group exerted louder instrumentation and singing, but later began engaging rhythmic-based song construction in the 60s and 70s, which coincided with Marley's conversion to Rastafarianism. Even though Marley was raised Catholic, he became interested in Rastafari beliefs. He formally converted and began to grow dreadlocks. During this time period, Marley relocated to London, and the group mirrored their musical shift with the release of the album, The Best of the Wailers. The group earned international success after the release of albums Head Five and Burn in 1973, and attained a reputation as touring artists. Catch a Fire was packaged like a rock record with a unique Zippo lighter lift top. Initially selling 14,000 units, the album received critical reception. Burnin' included the song I Shot the Sheriff. The trench town style on this album acquired fans across both reggae and rock audiences alike. The Wailers were scheduled to open 17 shows in the U.S. for Sly and Family Stone, but after four shows, the band was fired because they were more popular than the acts that they were opening for, okay? They eventually disbanded, and Marley went on to release solo material under the band's name. His solo debut, Natty Dread, was released in 1974 and received positive reception. This album garnered Marley his first hit outside Jamaica, No Woman, No Cry. This was followed by his breakthrough album in the U.S., Rastaman Vibration, which reached the top 50 of the Billboard Soul chart. A few months after the album's release, though, Marley survived an assassination attempt at his home in Jamaica, which prompted him to permanently relocate back to London. The attempt was thought to be politically motivated. During his time in London, he recorded the album Exodus, which incorporated elements of blues, soul, and British rock. He obtained widespread commercial and critical success with that album. His album Survival was defiant, politically charged, and reflected his support for the struggles of Africans. Marley had a strong opposition to South African apartheid and believed in Pan-Africanism. His final album was Uprising, released in 1980, and was one of his most religious productions. His greatest hits album, Legend, was released in 1984, a few years after his death in 1981, and became the best-selling reggae album of all time. He also ranks as one of the best-selling music artists of all time, with estimated sales of more than 75 million records worldwide. He was posthumously honored by Jamaica soon after his death with a designated Order of Merit, and in 1994, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rolling Stone ranked him number one on its list. Not number one. I take that back. My apologies. Rolling Stone ranked him number 11 on its list of the 100 greatest artists of all time. Bob Marley considered cannabis or marijuana a healing herb, a sacrament, and an aid to meditation. He supported the legalization of the drug and was even arrested and received a conviction while in London for possession of the substance. Marley believed that marijuana use was prevalent in the Bible, citing passages such as Psalms 104:14 as showing approval of its usage. He began to use marijuana when he converted to the Rastafari faith. Of his marijuana usage, he said, "When you smoke herb, herb reveal yourself to you. All the wickedness you do, the herb reveal itself to yourself. Your conscience show up yourself clear because herb make you meditate. It's only natural thing, and it grow like a tree." Wish I could have said that in a Jamaican voice, but I don't know how to do that. He saw it as a vital factor in religious growth and connection with Jah, and as a way to philosophize and become wiser. Bob Marley was considered one of the pioneers of reggae. His musical career was marked by fusing elements of reggae, ska, and rocksteady, as well as his distinctive vocal and songwriting style. His contributions to music increased the visibility of Jamaican music worldwide and made him a global figure in pop culture. Over the course of his career, Marley became known as a Rastafari icon, and he infused his music with a sense of spirituality. Marley is considered a global symbol of Jamaican music and cultural identity. So tonight we honor and salute an icon in reggae music and the revolution, Mr. Bob Marley. And with that, we're going to go ahead and get the show cracking. We're discussing the controversial topic of marijuana and the good, the bad, the myth. So go ahead and take it away, Shani.
All right. Thank you, girl. That was phenomenal. Oh, my God. Bob Marley, you keep it going with all of these hitters, heavy hitters. Bob Marley, like you said, is a pioneer, you know, not in just the musical career. I mean, his musical career, but as an activist. So thank you, sis. Thank you.
You're welcome, girl.
So today we are going to talk about another dynamic topic, and it's very controversial. It's, you know, hey, the wonders of marijuana, the good, the bad, and the myths. And we have a dynamic, you know, guest today who's going to be able to speak to some of the benefits and, you know, some of the myths of marijuana. So without further ado, we have Mr. I want to call him Mr. Him. I gave him a new name or whatever. Brother Mike McGee. How you doing today, brother?
Hey, how's it going, Sister Tate? How are y'all? Who am I speaking with?
You are speaking to Shani B, and you also have Lady V and Maya Marie, who are on the panel with me. So, you know, we're going to tag team this. I'm going to kick it over to my girl.
Yes, welcome.
Got the big girls.
Yes. So, you know, we don't want to wait or, you know, fray too long up in the, you know, the mystery area. We want to get right into the topic and talk about this because I'm not an expert. You know, we brought an expert to the show. So can you introduce yourself to our panel or to our listeners and just tell us, you know, about what you do and why? Well, you're here because you're an expert, but just tell our listeners why you're an expert in the marijuana business.
Okay. Peace and blessings, everybody. My name is Mike McGee Jr. I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm actually a pioneer myself and my partner, Maya Mays. We are the pioneers of the CBD and the hemp movement in Milwaukee. And so everything just flourished after we started 2 years ago. We actually are farmers, so we grow greens, collard greens, if you like those, and all plants that are really significant, moringa as well, some very plants that might be mysterious as well for people that don't know what moringa is. But then we also grow hemp, which is a cannabis plant, which is the cousin of marijuana. And so we make most of our products, we manufacture products, we distribute, and we have several stores. And just opened up an edible store Monday. All edible stores.
Congratulations.
So thank you. And we're just trying to inspire our people to come together in our own business together, but also pursue your dreams, pursue your passions.
Great. Thank you so much for that. So, I mean, for the people who don't know, like myself, what is the difference? I know you said that they're cousins, but I know there's something to do with the HTC levels and all of that other stuff that makes one of the I guess, components for marijuana versus hemp illegal. Can you walk us through that and what that looks like?
Yes. Tetrahydrocannabinol is actually the long name for THC, which is what everybody knows because of, you know, the myths and the misinformation of it being such a spooky chemical or whatnot, or people call it a drug, but it's not. So the plant, marijuana and hemp are cousins. They're in the cannabis family, cannabis sativa family, which is called. And it's a lot of history. And I think, I don't know if it's too early to delve into it, but one thing about cannabis is that it started off, actually, if you look on the second dynasty of Egypt or the Kemetic Walls, you'll see a sister queen, one of the gods. Her name is Shechet. She's the wife of Thoth or Tehuti, and she has a plant. She actually has a marijuana plant springing out of her head if you look on the wall. So if you ever get a chance to look that up, everybody's listening, look up Shishet, and you'll see pictures of early stages of what, you know, cannabis, which is known as marijuana now, and hemp as well. Before it was called marijuana, the plant was really called hemp. And it's such a long history. But THC and CBD are the two biggest cannabinoids in the plant. And when I say the plant, I mean marijuana and hemp. And so most people know about marijuana, but they don't know about hemp. And hemp is actually more medicinal and has 25,000 uses. I'm talking about if you put a black brain to any plant or any scientific endeavor, it can actually become more than 25,000 uses. But right now, you know, people have the U.S. Constitution is written with the hemp plant. Clothes in the World War II were actually designed and manufactured using hemp instead of more cotton. And Wisconsin, where we live, was the number two producer of hemp for quite a while before hemp became supposedly illegal in the 1970s. So I don't know if that's answering your question, but THC is what gets your head high. When people, you see people walking around looking Chinese, for lack of a better word, their eyes look like, you know, what else they call us, my mother used to call us Japanese Africans. You know, we were walking around with slanted eyes. Back when I was smoking marijuana, because I didn't smoke marijuana until I had my first daughter. Like, I just did it when I had my first child. For some reason, I wanted to try it, and I was in my 20s, but what I know now about the plant is good for those that have PTSD and some different anxiety issues sometimes, if it doesn't get you too paranoid. But CBD is more the body high, and that's called cannabidiol. So those two are the biggest cannabinoids out of over 150 cannabinoids in the plant. And they are all medicinal. And so scientifically, there's starting to be a big industry with researchers and scientists, you know, researching the plant, researching the benefits. And there is really, it's really a plant that God connected our bodies to, as is all vegetables is connected to our bodies. So what we found out in the last few years, it actually came out in the '70s, but reinvigorated itself, the science about, it's called a endocannabinoid system. So if you ever look up endocannabinoid system, you'll know that our bodies are actually connected to the plant. So we have, okay, you know how diabetes, you hear about people having receptors, sugar and insulin receptors. Mm-hmm. We all might be familiar with insulin receptors, right? So in our bodies, we have a receptor for marijuana or for the cannabis plant or the hemp plant. But that doesn't mean, if you're not taking a plant, that you're deficient. But the endocannabinoid system, truthfully, it actually dictates your appetites and your moods. So if you're a person that's like depressed, you're not at homeostasis, is what it's called when you balance. CBD in particular, we have receptors in our bodies, all throughout our bodies, that actually connect to those plants. They're called C1 and C2. And so C1 is like more so your nervous system and your brain, and C2 is all the other body parts and organs and whatnot that's in your body, from your liver. They all have receptors for the plant. And so,
people that take CBD, I'm sorry, not to interrupt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not to interrupt, because I'm kind of fascinated by what you're trying to say. So are you trying to say, like, it's the way our body digests it and, like, handles it? Like, we handle it differently. Like, some people can get high off of something that, like, I know for me, I'll just throw it out there. I've smoked once in a while before, and I'll be truthful. I'm just not a weed. I cannot smoke weed. Me and marijuana just do not get along. We're like oil and vinegar. Like, we do not get along. Like, my high be so high, and it could be some of the basic, junkiest weed, and I just be on a whole nother level. Like, what's going on? I be feeling like I'm tweaking and looping. And, like, my sisters joke with me. They're like, you need to just stick to drinking, because weed is not your thing. So is it, like, the way it digests through your system that you're saying?
It's a medicinal plant, but people are using it for recreation.
you can abuse anything. Right. But what I'm saying too is it's like a lock and key. So I tell you, like one of the people that work with me gave a good example in the interview. You know, receptors are like the lock, and then the CBD or the THC is the key that opens up the lock or opens up the lock to your pathway towards wellness. So you know how people have an ADHD issue and they're real high anxious or moving around jittery? Mm-hmm. CBD will bring a person down that has ADHD. But if a person is depressed, wherever you are, you're lacking in what CBD in particular does, it fills those gaps. Because like I said, the endocannabinoid system that we have in our bodies is connected to the plants. And if you're not at balance within yourself, that's the medicine you can take to actually bring balance to your life. Not Ooh. THC. THC is more in the mind. And the way that they make the street drugs, the street weed, the loud and all that, that's too high of a concentration of THC. See, it's man-made right now, a lot of it. Like, we grow it, but some people don't. The ones that are growing it now, some of those are like GMOs. They're GMO-made plants. And then they're using these plants as a weapon. You know, marijuana is weaponized right now. Like when you heard about the K2 experience and how bad that's been, marijuana is weaponized, and you're seeing zombies out here walking around with too much THC. So you can get over intoxicated with THC as well. You see the impaired driving, you see these fools driving crazy in all the streets of America. It's not just marijuana, but it's also the pills. But I'm saying people chasing highs, and a lot of times the marijuana, your mind, your brain is not equipped to handle as much marijuana, or I would say THC, as is being grown. For instance, your brain is probably looking at a 1% THC, where people out here using 14% and 40% THC concentration. That's too much. So that's why you get all the negativity.
Okay, so I have a question.
Yeah. Yes.
Look, we about to jump into our questions. Look, hold on. Yeah. Come out.
Can I just say I feel like I'm in school right now? I'm learning so much.
You're right.
I'm
over here writing stuff down.
I'm like, wow.
If we ever get to the history of it, man, I'm going to tell y'all some stuff that's just crazy as to really what's going on with the weaponization of marijuana and why it is what it is. But okay, I'll go for the questions.
Well, no, because you were talking about like the different highs and stuff. So I was going to ask you, because like with our legal system, you know, people never understand why you can get charged more when you have marijuana than, let's say, cocaine. Like, the laws are so much stricter, they're so much higher with marijuana than they are cocaine. Like, you can get like a slap on the wrist for cocaine, but with marijuana, it's like they throwing you under the jail, want to bury you in the jail when you got marijuana. And you're talking about the highs, and people, I know, for instance, I have some friends that would say that, well, marijuana, like, you're not impaired. Like, they want to give you a DUI for driving under the influence, but they're like, but you ain't that high. Like, if you drunk, you under an influence. If I'm high, I'm not. But you're pretty much just saying that you are impaired when you're high, because it's messing with your mind.
The reason I'm saying you're impaired too is because the concentration is too high. It's like people drinking Everclear versus somebody drinking the sex on the beach.
Oh, not Everclear.
Drink Everclear and drive is how some people are with marijuana. They over-intoxicate themselves, and then their senses are slower. So you can't just keep driving like that. I had some experiences like that recently with one called Delta 8, which is a whole nother, but it's a legal THC. It's milder, and anything you can take to impair your mind and slow your senses, it will impact your driving, no doubt.
Oh, wow, that's crazy, because I swear, people just swear, like, if you're high, your senses are just still able. Yeah, you can handle it, and to me, it makes me nervous. Like, I just you high? I'll catch an Uber. Like, that's like getting in the car with somebody that's drunk, to me.
Yeah.
So I But with the CBD, like, I would just throw all my little business out there. So I do like CBD gummies, because I do feel like you said, a person that's, like, with ADHD and stuff, I'm a very, my mind is one of those minds that just don't shut up. Even if I go to sleep, it don't shut up. It's like my other half says I have an energizer bunny mind. And CBDs, I found, help me relax. It helps me come down. It helps me not think that I got a million and five things to do. And it helps me put, like, I'm already super anal. So I guess, should CBD be more of a choice over, or CBD and hemp be over THC? Like, they're trying to legalize THC. Do you think that it'll be a downfall to legalize THC?
No, not at all. Because the reason it's illegal, don't get it twisted, the reason it's illegal, the very reason, I don't know if y'all know this, but the very reason it's illegal is because there were some individual white men in the 30s, one named Airy Harry Anslinger. You can look this guy up. You wouldn't even believe the statements he made, but they made marijuana illegal because they wanted to put black people in their places. And they actually said that. They said that. I can give some quote-unquotes from this guy. But he honestly said that black men, if they had marijuana, if marijuana stayed legal, that black men would be going after white women. And that we wouldn't know our place in society. There was a thing at one time, marijuana came in the country because of Indian immigrants, like Jamaicans came in, and then also Mexicans after the Mexican-American War, they came into America and they brought marijuana. And marijuana, in the 1800s, marijuana was around. Did y'all know bear medicine? Most of these prescription drugs, or I would say even aspirins, had cannabis and marijuana in them in the 1800s to 1900s. But all that changed when alcohol became legal. When the 21st Amendment was created, alcohol became legal. And so this guy I'm telling you about, he single-handedly, y'all heard of J. Edgar Hoover, right?
Yep.
Well, this guy was a J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah.
He was just like J. Edgar Hoover. Yes, he's exactly like, his name is Harry Anslinger. So he was going to lose a job because he was working against alcohol being legal in the 30s. And so when his job was in jeopardy, he said, well, I got a new public enemy. It's going to be black people and jazz. He didn't like jazz music. So Billie Holiday's Strange Fruit, that's a song. Cab Calloway had a song about weed.
Yeah.
And then Louis Armstrong, they all talked about smoking marijuana. And then what was happening was a lot of black people were coming up north, going to big cities with marijuana and having parties with white folks. And he saw that as a threat. So he single-handedly made marijuana illegal with different laws that came in called the Boggs Act. And so there's different laws, and it all went to Nixon. So they actually made marijuana illegal and it became a Schedule I drug with heroin. Marijuana is not even close to as dangerous as heroin and LSD, not even close. So it's a medicinal plant, but it's just anything good for you can be, you know, overused.
Ashe, wow, that's pretty deep. Maya, I feel like you feel like I feel right now, whatever. We're like in information overload.
I didn't want to do that, but it's a lot of information, like, especially this conspiracy tour. And it's a real conspiracy. I'm saying these people actually were saying these things. They were saying that black people would lose who they are and become uppity Negroes if they start smoking marijuana. And the name marijuana comes from the Mexicans. And it actually had an H in it instead of a J. White people always put J's, like Jesus. They put J's in everything. So is this real? I'm saying we were not saying marijuana. It was called cannabis or hemp.
Mm-hmm.
So when Mexicans came in, they had a, and this is movie called Reefer Madness. Y'all need to see this movie put out. Reefer Madness is out on YouTube. You can find it. And if you look up Harry Anslinger, Anslinger, he had a vendetta against black folks, and he didn't like our culture in particular. And so even up to today, there's the Republican Party, they really follow suit with that mentality, and they don't want to legalize it. He's on the gateway. But I'm going to tell you this about the Anslinger that's really interesting, is he tried to go get the American Medical Association to side with his
propaganda, and no scientists would sign up. They all said marijuana was actually good for you. Cannabis in particular was a good health product for medicine, right? Oh, and so mm-hmm. because when he couldn't do that, then he went to the president and Congress, and they passed a law against marijuana. And ever since then, we have been disproportionately arrested for Mexicans. Initially, it was first, it was Mexicans being arrested because they're the ones that brought more so in the country. Then it changed over to us. So the war on drugs became a war on us. And Nixon, when he became president, when he was president, he knew that blacks and Mexicans would vote for him. So he said, well, let me jail them then. Because if you can jail your enemies, they can't go vote.
Wow.
And so that's wow. part of the right. whole, I'm talking always is Bush, like George Bush, more black people went to jail under George Bush. I'm going to keep it honest about people, they excited about Kamala Harris and Biden, but Biden was a part of that 1994 passing of legislation to incarcerate, you know, more of us for drug offenses. And like the sister said, cocaine is a white drug pretty much, so you get less penalty than you would for marijuana, because mm-hmm. marijuana is considered our so-called drug, but it's not a drug, but it's also just as many blacks and whites smoking marijuana. And if you look at alcohol yeah. being legalized, there's more people that's really hurt from alcohol than they are from any other substance out here. And alcohol became legal.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Legal with alcohol, like alcohol poisoning and messing up your liver, yeah. everything with alcohol. Like you don't hear about people dying from an overdose of THC. Or at least I've never heard of that ever being a thing.
Right.
Like right. my other half mm-hmm. has told me that all the time. He's like, you're not gonna die. You just high as hell. And I just like, dude, yeah. okay.
And if you use it medicinally, it's really gonna help you. Not saying you gotta have the THC, okay. but the CBD is really good for people that don't want that anxiety or I would say paranoia that's associated with THC, because it will have you paranoid if you take a significant amount. It's for certain people. But then CBD, the side effects are not even close to marijuana when it comes to or THC. It's really more for people that want to have medicinal. I have so many testimonies of people fighting cancer with our stuff. Diabetes, lupus, mm-hmm. you can name it, the fibromyalgia that affects a lot of our women in particular. Mm-hmm. That's what we got into this for, is to help people with healing, because these cannabinoids really do help with good sleep, for instance. If somebody needs energy, if you want to lose weight, if you want to gain weight, that's what I'm saying. It's all about homeostasis. So
I need to come to your store because I'm trying to lose weight. I need to come to your store.
Yeah.
Like one of those questions that people always have is, do you like people when they smoke weed? They always tend to seem to get the munchies. But I know I've done research, and supposedly THC, you're not supposed to gain weight. You're supposed to maintain, or they say people who smoke weed are usually slimmer. And I'm going to be real honest. That is a lie in hell if it ain't the truth, for the fact that I know some big people who smoke weed and they've been big the entire time they've been smoking weed. Yeah. So you cannot say that weed helps you lose weight.
But CBD is on the other hand, more homeostasis. Marijuana or cancer patients, you can tell a lot of them, they'll smoke some marijuana because it's going to increase their appetite, because they lose their appetite when they have all these, all these different treatments from chemo to radiation.
That's true, because I mean, we had our grandpa smoke a couple joints a couple times when he was suffering from pancreatic cancer and stuff. So, yeah, mm-hmm. they rolled up a couple times, like, Papa smoked this. And it was funny only because he came out of the bag and was telling us that he had smoked a lot. You know, back in his day. I was like, oh, you smoked this before? So you ain't a newbie. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's kind of crazy because in the 70s, it was hippies. Like, they were hippies. So why is it that it's so frowned upon that the black community smokes it now? But in the 70s, white people did it all the time. They had Woodstock. Like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah. And see, that was around Nixon's time. But see, Nixon, one of his assistants came out recently. He went to jail for the Watergate scandal. He came out recently and he said that the war on drugs really is about the hippies and about black folks. But because everything is so disproportionate when it comes to the arrest, you don't have as many white people getting arrested. White privilege is real. That hippie thing was white privilege. Mm-hmm. That's why it was frowned upon. It wasn't frowned upon as much because. And then some of those same hippies now are looking for, they come to our store and they look for they want the THC. And so now lately there's a new THC that's not as harsh and is also healing as well. It's called Delta 8. You're going to hear a lot about that pretty soon. And it's legal everywhere. And we just started launching that more so for people that want that psychoactive feel. And it's not too heavy. You still can function at work. See, it's about being productive, too, because if you look at THC now, a lot of people are not productive that get that on that loud. You don't see too many productive people using loud as you do with small CBD. So my analogy always is two cousins. Like CBD is the cousin that's a nerd that go to work and handle business. And THC is the one that's playing video games at home, still staying with their mama. That's the difference between the two right now.
I should not laugh at that, but that is hilarious because I feel like I can't do crap or nothing when I'm high. I just like, this is not for me. I need to be able to function when I'm high. I'm sorry. Like, I don't understand how people can just sit like zombies staring at a TV. I cannot.
But there are some people who are able to function. Like, they can smoke, they can smoke. I got a lot of close friends who are able to smoke. Like, they smoke on the way to work. They smoke on their lunch break. Yeah. And they have one already rolled up for the way home, the ride home. So, and actually, they say it helps them to get through their day.
Yeah, understood. Wow. Some people can function like that. They're able to function. But imagine if they weren't using it, that they'd probably be more productive. But some people, they can play basketball, play sports. We get a lot of UFC fighters. But they come for the CBD because of the aches and pains. But I do know a lot of people play basketball, and there's a lot in the NBA right now that smoke weed because it calms their nerves while they play. But I just didn't see doing that, though. But some people, they can get away with it because it's genetic as well. Some addictions and things are genetic.
Wow. Right, and I mean, you say, like, the aches and the pain. So my thing is, I guess for me, I'm so clumsy. I didn't fail a couple times being high. I ain't never failed being drunk, but I didn't fail being high. And I'll wake up like, dang, where did I get this bruise from, though? And I just feel like I done messed around and broke a leg and I've been high and I didn't even know it because I didn't feel the pain. Yeah. Like, if I'm that impaired, I just feel like that is just something that I should not be doing. And I mean, guys, let me put a disclaimer out there for all our listeners. I'm sorry. We're not saying you should smoke. We're not saying you shouldn't smoke. We saying do what is best for you. Because I ain't going to never knock nobody from getting high, drunk, whatever you got to do to make it through the day. Honey, do it. Cause
some people, it's for medicine, It's medicinal for some people. Some people, it's recreational. It's a big difference between the two. Now, if you need it for medicine, I suggest you do it. But if it's recreational, you just got to be responsible.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. Because I'm all about my CBDs. I'm going to be honest. Just because I know between my anxiety and... my overactive mind, it helps me settle down. Like my kids, I can tell that even with my kids, they can tell the difference when I'm super just jittery and everywhere because they'd be like, mama, wasn't you supposed to been doing something? I'm like, I was, but I don't know what it was. So right now I'm in your face. So they can kind of tell the difference and they're young and even their dad, like he just like, you need some gummies in your life or something. And I just like, I'm out. Like, I'm going to be at your store for real
because
I'm out.
Because children, speaking of children, we do get a lot of children. Parents come in with children that have different issues from ADHD to even depression. And it's working. I'm saying we have 4-year-olds come in. They take a small dosage. It's helping a lot of people in different areas. It is.
Oh, wow.
Don't tell me that because I'll be at your store tomorrow. What time you close?
We close at 7 at Mayfield Mall, and then the other stores close at 6. We have one on Hemp World Cafe, which is on the east side of Milwaukee on Humboldt and North. Mm-hmm. It's a cafe where you can get infused foods. We'll be reopening that, but it's open for curbside due to Corona. And then also we just opened up on a 2700 block, which is King Drive and Center, an all edible store. And that's, you know, we even have cereals that have either Delta 8 THC or CBD, chips, different things, different ways you take the medicine. Yeah, we do. We have different ways you can take the medicine. The brownies are really popular.
Oh, brownies.
Yeah, they're big. Right. But you can't eat a whole one. We never suggest people eat a whole one. We always say take a piece at a time. Because, see, one thing about all of this, and this is the beauty in all of this, is that no doctor can prescribe the exact amount you need to take because everybody's different. So you have to experiment for yourself and find your lane. And once you find where you are, most people, they find what they like, they stick with it. They don't even change up and try new things. I present them.
So one thing
I'm
gonna have to ask you
to break. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, one thing I love is like the evolution of weed, you know, or marijuana or hemp. Like there's so many different ways to like serve it up. And I heard, you know, Doc Rogers said that he's one of your biggest clients. And he told me to tell you, he told me to tell you what's up. He might be able to join us later on in a conversation. But man, he said, you got coffee. What other variations? Oh my God.
You said what other products?
The products.
You want to hear some other products? Well, one thing is we created a soda with Sprecher. I don't drink soda, but this soda is really good. And it's a low milligram of CBD. And it's a cherry, Door County cherries, which is northern Wisconsin. Door County cherries and honey together. It's a great... it's a great medicinal drink. It tastes good. You wouldn't think it was just CBD or some kind of medicine. You would just think it was a soda. So that's one that people really like. It's getting a lot of traction. And then I have different tinctures. Speaking of Everclear, I do have a tincture that's like an alcohol-based way of absorbing. Some people look for tinctures, it's called. And so I have those. And then we have dog treats. Yeah, that's another funny one. Speaking of this fun, is dogs getting, you know, CBDs. People come in and say, the dogs are getting high now. And, you know, dogs, to be real with you, dogs have a similar system than we do. And so they take the oil too, or they take their dog treats with the CBD on it. So those are a few of my lotions. We have soaps and lotions that are CBD-based. And people swear by those too.
What of the reasons why somebody would get a dog treat for the dog? Why you want your dog to be a little mellow?
There's a lot of anxious dogs out here, man. The thunder come out, man. These dogs are jumping in the couches. They going crazy. Some dogs are too hyper. Some dogs have arthritis. Especially white folks and dogs, man, y'all wouldn't believe some of the people come crying because their dog. It was
their dogs are like family members
now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got testimonies for dogs. When we first started, we actually had people come and give testimonies crying, saying, my dog can walk now. It's just too funny, with arthritis. So you have dogs with issues too.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I have a question back to the kids part. So how do you break down, like, giving something to a child? Because, like, I'm serious. Like, I have a five-year-old, and he just be, when I say he, like, the Energizer Bunny on crack cocaine itself, I just, like, you can't sit down. Like, just sit down, and he don't know how. He's so active. And I never want to kill that spirit, because, I mean, he's fine.
Yeah, you know.
But he needs to simmer down a little bit.
Like, maybe in the morning, give him, like, for instance, if they had a gummy, or they had a very small doses of oil, it does help them calm down. They actually don't be drugged up at all. And see, the thing is, Ritalin and all those different drugs, people are so happy that they have alternatives now.
Because,
you know, most of us test doctors, and the doctors say, okay, we can calm the child down with Ritalin or some other.
Exactly.
And so you can give them CBD, which is natural. You're not getting their head. It's not hitting their head. They're still developing. We have had pregnant women take it to help with their cramps and to help with their child's development as well. So CBD is really a miracle. It's not a drug. It's a miracle cannabinoid that's in the plant. And so that's not the only one. It's 150 of them. And so right now we probably experimented with about four. I've used about four or five of those cannabinoids, some for cancer, some for bone strength. It's just so many benefits to the plant. You can drink it as a tea. That's another thing. You don't have to smoke. You can drink it. And that'll give you real nice. Yeah, that'll do something real nice for your vibes as well. And so when it comes to children, people, they do. They give very small dosages to their children for different issues. Eczema, for instance, you know. There's so many uses. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
So even for like the PTSD, because I mean, like, I know people who has it who have been in military, and you know, for them, it's just THC is their gateway to offset the PTSD that they've had and suffered from. So CBD and hemp will be something that they could use as an alternative that would probably give them that same calm.
We have people that use it. I'm saying we all have some PTSD from just being in America.
Right.
So absolutely.
Yeah, stress from that day-to-day life of being Black in America is definitely cause for that. So Vietnam vets, friends like my father and different older individuals, they stand by it because they're using it instead of drugs from the the VA. It would recommend some kind of, you know, psychiatric drug, and people don't want to be addicted like that, so they come for the alternative. We get hospitals that refer people to us, and they have different issues, but mental issues for sure has really been, you know, some good testimonies out here.
Man, that's just so amazing. So if you guys are listening online and you guys have a question for our guests, you can call us at 215-490-9832. Maya, are you just as like in awe? Like, I'm in awe. I'm not the one smoking hay in the middle of the barn, you know, but... But I mean, I'm coming to the shop to get some gummies tomorrow or get something.
I don't even understand.
Yeah, we actually send out a lot of products all over the U.S.
And that was my question. How do our listeners from all over the country and some parts all over the world, we got listeners from, you know, different parts of the world. How do they contact? How do they connect with you?
I think the best way is just to go. We have an app. I mean, right before the pandemic, we launched an app that was on the level of Grubhub, and it's called Cartel Delivery. So if you go to cartel.yellow, which is YELO.red, you can actually sign up and become and get a 20% off your first order too. So you can communicate with us on the app, ask questions. You can get, if you go for pickup. Because we even have some dispensaries in different parts of the world on the app, like in Amsterdam, for instance. So if you use a pickup, if you select pickup and put in the notes your address, for instance, if you live in Atlanta or Carolinas, you could just put that information in there and we'll send the product directly to you.
Wow.
So
look, I'm Googling it now.
Yeah. You can do. You can get delivery if you live in Milwaukee, or we have some other cities you can do delivery in. You can select delivery just like you do with Grubhub.
That is amazing! Awesome. Congratulations! Like, that is awesome.
Yeah, so it's a lot. It's a lot of different, avenues in this whole cannabis industry. And just to let you all know, it's supposed to be a vote this month, but it was canceled today by the Democrats, which was interesting. A vote to actually legalize marijuana federally, which would change the whole scope of things. With so many of us going to prison, there's a lot of legislation that's used to so-called fix and expunge people's records. And so that was postponed, but there's going to be a vote, I'm thinking, after the election now.
That was actually going to be one of my next questions. Okay. With, you know, everybody talking about the legalization of weed. We know that marijuana is, you know, legal in Chicago. And, you know, they're in different states. They're looking to try and make it legal. Do you think with the legalization what happens to those people who are already selling marijuana?
Hold that thought. We're going to go to break. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
We don't go to break. We're at the top of the hour. You know what I'm saying? I know you want to answer that, but we're at the top of the hour and we're going to go to break. And as soon as we come back, we're going to open up your mic and we're going to let you answer that question.
Do it, man. will it take? Somebody's asking how long will prejudice blind the visions of men? I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment,
yes, sir,
however frustrating the hour, it will not be long, because truth crushed to earth will rise again.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Yes, sir.
Because no lie can live forever.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
How long?
Because you shall reap what you sow.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
How long?
Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne.
Yes,
that scaffold sways the future.
Yes.
Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. How long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice.
Yes,
how long?
Not long.
Because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yes,
he's trampling out the village where the grapes of wrath are stored.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He's loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword.
Yes,
his truth is marching on.
Yes,
he has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat.
Peace,
he is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat.
Yes,
oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.
Yes.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes,
glory, hallelujah.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All right, I wasn't ready. Okay,
right,
so
I wasn't ready.
All right, Time for Awakening Radio radio meet lineup. On Mondays, we have a show, 11 to 1, African Perspectives by Brother Oshi. 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we have Acres of Diamonds by Brother Jahid Ahmed. At 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, we also have Black Therapy Central by Dr. Cambone and Sister Cambone. And then also at 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, we have conversations about reparations, the first and third Mondays. On Tuesdays, 8 to 10, we have Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. Rogers. On Thursdays, you have us, After 7 Ladies panel from 7 to 9. And then on Fridays, 8 to 10, Time for an Awakening. Saturdays, we have Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and then 7 to 9 on Saturdays, we have the Elders of Sankofa with Brother Alfonso Watkins. We also have 7 to 9 on Sundays, Time for an Awakening Radio, Black Farmers Program coming in August. And with that, Lady V, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right. So before we went to break, we had to ask the question about the laws changing, and what did you feel about that? Wait, did we mute him or did we lose him? Hold on.
Nah, he's still on.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right, so we were going to let you answer that question.
Yeah, I just wanted to say you guys have a great network of individuals on the other shows. I know Oshi and Brother Fonzo and Dr. Rogers. That's a great group you guys network with.
That's your number one client, Dr. Rogers.
Yeah. Awesome brothers. Yeah, well, the illegal market is actually going to thrive, and it has been thriving since marijuana became legal in certain states, especially California. California is like the headquarters of marijuana for the whole world. I don't know if y'all know that. California, the headquarters in the world, is like the number one state for cannabis consumption and production. And so there, what happens is when it becomes legal, all the states, and that's why they are making it legal, is because states need money. Money's drying up. resources are drying up. So the police department, they have so many issues. Look, we have Corona going on. Marijuana is going to be the last thing on their mind unless it's somebody shipping 500 pounds across the state. That's going to be one of the last things they're really looking for now in law enforcement. But prior to COVID, the market was the marijuana market is about $50 billion. And so it's at least 10 times that in the black market. And if you have to pay all these fines and all these fees and all these licensing fees and go through the red tape to open up a dispensary, when you can just do it, you know, off the app, you could do it off the internet now. You can sell, you know, out of the house if you wanted to. It's just the black market is thriving. So that's just like with fake hair. You know, if somebody, I guess extensions or whatnot, anybody can sell them. So it's, even if the market for extensions, just to give you an example, if the market for extensions was legalized and if you sold them without a license, it'd be illegal, you know nobody's going to stop doing that. It's going to flourish.
Right.
Because you can conceal yourself, you can hide yourself more so when something is legal versus illegal.
I mean, that's very true. I did have a side note to that, only because I just don't feel like it's right for the government to tax on something that I guess people have been selling for years. So now it's like you want me to get wages and pay taxes and all this other stuff. Like, you normally, like, taxes are allocated to go to something. So what are the taxes really going to go to for allocated weed? Like, what are y'all going to do? Plant some more grass somewhere? Yeah. Plant some trees?
I'm
going
to tell you a positive thing that's going on, believe it or not, with the reparations movement. Harvey, Illinois, for instance, they took the legalization of marijuana and used it for reparations. They used all the tax dollars. Because I'm going to tell you, who's getting taxed and who owns these? After we went and through all the slavery and all the different issues, Jim Crow, and then to be subjected to the worst penal system in the world, now you see all these white folks using privilege to open up dispensaries. There's only 2% of the whole country on dispensaries are owned by black folks.
Oh.
I don't know if you know that. It's very small. It costs so much to get in. Like Illinois, you got to be a millionaire to just come into the door. And so you can't raise, and you have to build a new, if you're new, you have to build a whole new building. So who would want to go through all that? But one thing I'm seeing is that some cities are being very creative and they're using the taxes gained to actually reissue or redistribute resources to our community. So that can be a positive, but for the most part, we don't see that. But a few states have done some expungement with it, and they also use the money collected to actually help individuals who are disenfranchised start their own business.
Okay. And when you say expungement, that makes me think about those that are incarcerated, because I know some states have tried to not expunge, but lessen people's sentences that have gotten sentenced to like 15, 20 years, even the three strikes law, they're in there for life because their last strike was marijuana. And yeah. So it's just like, do you feel like that is something that should happen? Because I do. I feel like, I don't feel like marijuana is that big of a crime that people need to spend life in jail.
You better say it. You know, it's just like if collard greens is illegal and you know it's good for you, that's just counterintuitive. But because the propaganda has been, like I told you about the Harry Anslinger, right. They put that movie out called Reefer Madness and it made it look like we were savages. And that the marijuana does that to us, and we know that's not true. And then even recently, there's a senator out of Kansas. He actually came out and said, I hate to say this, but let's go back to the 30s. And he started saying, demeaning black folks, saying that we are predisposed to act crazy if we have marijuana. It was as bad as he said it, and you know, the public came out against him. But that's just the mindset of most of the Republican Party, is that they're using this as a propaganda tool to make it seem like you are dirty, you filthy if you smoke marijuana. But then their kids are using it. So, you know, it's like with rap music. Right. They listen to our music, but they want to be like us, but they don't want to be like us.
But they don't, right. They don't want the stigma attached to being like us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's why they got to make it medicinal weed.
Yeah. So there's a lot of money to be made off of decriminalization and decriminalization. You know how much money is going to be made when they decriminalize marijuana, because there's not any industries right now in America. This is mostly Amazon. You know, it's not a lot of employment right now. So they're in a position where they're going to have to legalize just to create new industries and create new revenue streams. They might not even care about the medicinal purposes, but they care about the money that it brings in. Because America has an insatiable appetite for marijuana.
I feel like we'll be putting a lot of people out of business if we legalize weed where people can sell it. But then it's like you just said, if it takes almost $1 million just to open up a dispensary,
yeah, you don't go to the street.
I guess you don't still have a lot of jobs because ain't nobody going to the dispensary to pay taxes, and then you don't have drug dealers trying to figure out the tax. Of, yeah. Let me see. Hold on. That's 3.9% off of 20 dub. Let me.
Come on.
Listen, nobody's doing that. They're just going to go to the street and do it themselves.
Yeah, that's primarily what's happening. That's what's happening now in California. And then in Oregon, they had such a surplus of marijuana that it drove prices down in other places, and then they couldn't sell it nationally legally, so they were stuck with a lot of marijuana. It only costs like $7 a gram when you know it's going to cost more in other places. So that's what legalization does too, is change the prices, because legalization makes the prices go up so high that the people on the street, they got the deals.
Exactly.
You have to raise so much money to pay the government. So if you look at Humboldt, I encourage y'all to look up anything about Humboldt County in California. It's going to talk about how these individuals, they run from camp to camp, setting up shop, growing acres of marijuana until they get caught, and then somebody else comes in. It's like an ongoing game. It's called the Emerald Triangle. But if California has the most going on right now when it comes to cannabis, they're like at the forefront. Because it's, you know, they had the right weather, it's year round, but most people do not go to the state because of the exorbitant, the taxes are ridiculously high, and so nobody's really going to try to open up a dispensary. They like, forget it, I just grow on my own and sell to my own customers.
And sell it on your own. I know that's right.
But
you know, so if an ounce of marijuana, you can have an ounce. In certain states, you can actually have an ounce. Who's going to deny that? I'm saying you can't go to jail for selling an ounce.
Oh, yeah.
People going to be out here selling it.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true, because with the laws, an ounce of weed is just a misdemeanor, not even. Yeah. It depends on the cop who's going to arrest you. They could let you off with a warning. But in other cases, if you have more than an ounce, though, you have to be careful, though, because if you have more than an ounce, they can say that you're distributing now. And that's when people get caught up with felony charges.
And I think
I think that's just so horrible. I know someone who spent 5 years in federal prison over a blunt. You know, and I think it's just ridiculous. But, you know, hey, you guys, if you guys are listening over the internet, you want to call in, you can give us a call at 215-490-9832. And I don't know, ladies, do y'all feel like we should open up the lines and ask, open up the lines for our listeners to see if they have any questions for our guests?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, so we don't. I don't know if anybody is gonna, you know, want to expose themselves, you know, and ask questions, but we gonna see. You know, it's okay. We're not the government.
Not ready.
Yeah. All right. This is a judgment-free zone.
Oh yeah, we have a caller calling from the Milwaukee area code. Last 4 digits of your exchange, 9766. You are live and on the air. Do you have any questions or concerns for Mr. Hemp Milwaukee? Or Mr. Michael McGee Jr. Sorry, I'm going to stop.
Yeah, okay, so here's my thing. I don't smoke like that. I've been trying to get into it. It's not my thing. However, I can do edibles. And so I was really trying to, I had missed out on the information you had about the deliveries that you can do, and I was just trying to get that information again if you could provide it.
Yes, thank you. And you also can visit the store on just opened up. It's all edible store called Highly Edibles. It's on King Drive and Center. And if you wanted to order for delivery, you can go to Cartel
cartelyellow.red. So cartelyellow.red. And you can sign up there and you can order. You can look through the menu or whatnot and order. And your first order actually could be 20% off.
I heard that promo code. Part.
You'll use 414, the number 414 in the promo code. And you get 20% off of everything. So it'll be worth it.
Okay. So I'm glad to hear this. Ladies, keep doing your thing. I'm liking this. I just tuned in and I'm like, oh my God, I missed this information. So I'm glad y'all opened the line so that I can get that information again.
We have some samples for you too if you come tomorrow to the store and say you heard it on the radio, and have them call me if you have any issues. But we definitely have you try some of our samples.
What time
y'all? We open at 10 a.m.
What time is this? I get off at about 6. Y'all gonna still be open?
We open at 7 at Mayfair, so you can actually come up to Mayfair Mall across from the movie theater. 414 Hemp. You can come to that location.
Okay. All right. Really appreciate this. And like I said, ladies, keep doing y'all thing. I'm enjoying this.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that was it. So what do I do? Do I just mute off or how
does... I got you, sis. Don't worry about it. Oh, man. So, okay, we're going to go to another caller. Caller in a 414 area code. Last four digits, 7906. 7906, you are live and on the air. Do you have any questions for Brother Mr. Michael McGee Jr.?
No, I do not. But it was a good program. I want you guys to keep doing what you're doing. It's very interesting.
Okay. Thank you, sister. Thank you. All right. So, Lady V, with that, I'm just kick it back over to you. On here, sis.
So I have a weird question, just because I am who I am, and I got to know it, because I'm one of those people who look at expiration dates. So does THC, CBD, and hemp, does it expire?
No, it really doesn't expire. The potency might change over time, but you can actually vacuum seal plants and put it in the storehouse. So there's a lot of things you can do to preserve food, period. So hemp is like a food, or even marijuana could be treated as a food.
Really? I've been doing some good CBD.
Wait, I got a question. So with age, is it bad or is it good? Because does it age like wine where it gets better with time? Or
Well, I know that CBD, if it ages, is going to become more of a THC. And so people don't want that. They make sure the plant doesn't grow that far. But, you know, the longer something gets, if you don't keep it fresh, it can just be, it can start getting crumbly. But one thing about God's plants is that you can always reuse it. So if it becomes, you know, not as fresh with the leaves, you can just crush the leaves and make a tea out of it, or you can use it for edibles.
Now, let me I have a question, because this is like, and just like Shani was saying earlier, like there are so many things that I did not learn this evening. So one question that I did have is, because you're very knowledgeable, you have a lot of knowledge on the topic. My question to you is, what made you deep to this? What made you become so passionate about it, to know so much?
It's really about health. I would say it came from my family. I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to tell you. Our family actually started the first medical clinic in Milwaukee in the 70s with the Panther Party as well. It was called a People's Free Health Clinic. And so health has always just been a passion of my family, actually.
Got it.
Power to the people, you know.
The health clinic became if you're in Milwaukee, you know, the medical, it's called Milwaukee Health Services, the former Isaac Cogs. That's
right.
My father and my grandmother actually started the first clinic, and then it became that, what it is now.
Oh, cool.
That's great. So with him, because you were talking about, like, the, I guess for some of our listeners, because I seem that some of them did not hear you, can we just go back over some of the benefits of hemp? Because I know, like I said, I like it for my anxiety. And then you also said, like, with cancer and stuff, like, we have, with this COVID going on, I'm sorry, like, in the field that I work in, I deal with a lot of mental health issues of people coming in with between suicide. We've had people, even children, teenagers wanting to commit suicide. Do you think that's something that it can help them, like the medical benefits of it?
Yes, there. I'm saying it's a testimony for almost every area you can name since we started. And I have personal people in my family that use it for anxiety, different issues, people that have cancer. You know, you can reach us at 404-HEMP on Facebook, and you'll see some testimonies as well. And we're also on Instagram with at 414-HEMP, and you can see a lot of the testimonies people have from all a variety of issues. But one of the biggest things is pain, inflammation, the fibromyalgia is out there big, and people with sleep issues or anxiety. Those are the primary things you see. But cancer has really been, because CBD, what it does is it actually shrinks the cancer cells and fights like an antibody once it enters the body against, you know, the radicals. So that's pretty, you know, the free radicals that cancer pretty much pervades your body with. So, you know, it's the receptors that in each of your organs, I'm talking about every organ has a receptor for the plant, and that's what makes it such a dynamic substitute for any kind of drugs. And so a lot of people have gotten off of medication like metformin. Our first people we ever had, they beat diabetes with CBD, and they beat cancer, and then COVID too. There's a lot of evidence that cannabis period is a good and it's a suppressant for COVID. It's a good immune builder, because that's what it's all about, your immune system being strong.
Right.
So cannabis, you don't have to smoke, you know, because like when we have people that have cancer issues, we try to get them not to smoke the CBD, just to try it as a tea. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people that had testimonies from drinking as a tea, or take the oil, which is the number one way of consuming the CBD, sublingual, under the tongue. It really gets right to the system when you take it under the tongue.
And then epilepsy as well. I know people who smoke because they have epilepsy.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big one, too. We have a lot of children with epilepsy, or adults that say they were finally able to get some sleep without having any issues. Because a lot of people have episodes, and they're like, if I can control my episodes without medication, I feel like I'm winning. So that's what it's all about, is giving people alternatives to what's been going on traditionally.
I remember watching this episode on CNN about this little girl who had like seizures just left and right. And then when she started taking cannabis oil, or I guess some form of hemp or something like that, like the seizures CBD immediately stopped. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That young lady passed. You know, this is pretty deep, but she was able to live 10 years. 10 years.
Wow.
With those epilepsy by using cannabis. She used CBD, and that really helped her out. And then she passed from COVID, out of all things. Ain't that something? She passed supposedly from corona. Yeah.
That's sad. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, she lived longer because of a plant that people try to frown upon so much. Because I know for me, I've had people judge me when they, you take CBD? Yes. And then they got to ask me like a whole bunch of personal questions. And it's just like, I do what's best for me and my anxiety. And I do what's best for me and my, you know, my jitters. Like, do what's best for you. This is what I do, though, you know. And I've heard... Well, I've watched Cooking with THC. They try to balance out THC with CBD. So does CBD actually help bring down your high, or does it just mellow you out?
Yeah. Before I go, her name was Charlotte. That was the young lady's name. She had a brand called Charlotte's Web. The young lady that passed away that started the whole CBD movement, really, because she had the most publicity. But when it comes to CBD, you know, they're cousins. So it's like your cousin that's a square and you were smoking weed and they came around, they bring your high down. You know what I'm saying? How you got your cousins that you don't want around. That's what CBD does to THC. It comes, it brings, so if you were high from THC, you can actually balance it out by taking CBD. And so just to give you a phenomenal testimony, which is funny, a lot of these guys on probation parole that come into the store, they take the CBD because it brings out, it drops the THC levels. And so then they start using CBD, which to give you a whole nother topic is all the people on probation parole, they want to get some kind of like highs. They come to get CBD while they're on probation.
So it's because not detectable when their probation officer makes them drive.
It's only 0.3%, which is the federal limit. It's an arbitrary number the government came up with, but 0.3%, 0.3% THC is in the plant naturally because of engineering over the years, and so that's not enough to show up. But sometimes people get false positives from the oil sometimes, and we back people up. You know, we've had to go to court, you know, for some people, and it's just, you know, it's really a pioneer effort to go in court and actually present documents to a judge to let somebody out of jail. That's pretty deep, you know. So we've had a few people with jobs. They had to get the job back, or we had to call senators, you know, for some people that really were using the plant. But some people try to use it in disguise, their THC use. And the truth is going to come out, but some people try to do it anyway, and they get caught.
Don't get caught.
Trying to be slick.
I got a question. So can we smoke it, or is it just in the form of other stuff? Like, what if somebody, I know this is stupid, this is crazy, but what if it's somebody who wants to have, like, a tobacco-infused or, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily tobacco, or just is it possible for us to smoke it?
Yeah, people smoke CBD all the time. And CBD is the chemical that comes out of the plant when you smoke it. And so you can get it as a chemical reaction is smoking, right? But then you can also take it as an oil. And the other things I talked about, the treats, those are ways that CBD can be consumed. And you heard Dr. Rogers say he drinks it, you know, through the coffee.
Right.
So that's what you're doing. You can take CBD in any form. And the lotion is even a way, because your skin is a big cell. Your skin is nothing but a cell. So, you know,
biggest organ.
Mm-hmm. So you put lotion on and you'll get the CBD effect as well. And it's really a positive effect. We've had probably 99% of the people have a positive effect from the products. You always get somebody that might, you know, if you have like coconut oil, for instance, somebody might be allergic to coconuts that can hurt you. So we don't use certain products that we know across the board people could get sick from or have a reaction to. But yeah, so it's pretty much a 99.9% positive chemical compound that could be used to, you know, for healing.
So what's the most potent form of hemp or CBD? Did I say that right? I probably didn't.
One thing to be clear, so that, you know, moving forward, you know that CBD is just a chemical inside the plant. So hemp has 150, and marijuana, they're called a cannabis plant. They both have over 150 cannabinoids, but the biggest two cannabinoids are the ones we know, which are THC, and we just heard about CBD. So that's the chemical that you're getting out the plant. So if you smoke hemp, but see, this is what's interesting too, is that if you take hemp oil, you're not going to get CBD. Hemp oil is sold in the stores, and that's just pressed hemp plants or seeds. So you're getting like omega-3s from the oil, but if you extract CBD, you're getting a whole different animal. You're getting an extracted compound out the plant that's used for medicine. But if you just use hemp and it doesn't have any CBD in it, but like I said, if you use the plant, it's going to have CBD in it, right? But to get CBD out of it, you have to either smoke it or you have to extract it. So if you get the oil, it's CBD oil, and there's two different things, and that's what a lot of people have been confused, and that's how we had all these black market people taking advantage of individuals, is they were telling them that they're getting CBD when they're really getting hemp oil at the early stages of the industry. And so that's the thing to know, too, is that hemp oil is different than CBD oil, but it comes from the same plant. Y'all get what I'm saying?
it's a chemical. Yes. It's a chemical extraction. So a scientist has to actually extract, or I'm not going to lie to you, but I know how to extract it. So you can extract the actual oil or CBD from the plant. But if somebody just pressed it together, you just getting oil that's good for your heart.
So basically, don't go to the gas station trying to buy the hemp CBD oil, whatever that is. It's not official. So
yeah, it's like vitamins. It's how unregulated vitamins are, right? Like if you bought a vitamin, they could put anything in that vitamin. And you wouldn't, it's not regulated. You can't sue. And that's what the CBD market is like, because it's unregulated. So you're getting dangerous. You have to have a brand, loyalty. Like people have to know that you have good products, or else you're not going to even make it in the industry if you can't show your testing, or if you can't give people, the effect that they're looking for. Because eventually the truth will come out. But a lot of people are going on Amazon. And we are on Amazon, by the way, too. But a lot of people are going on Amazon, they just getting hemp oil.
Dang, you everywhere. How do they find you on Amazon?
Yeah, you're on Amazon under Hemp Cartel. Yeah.
Oh, Hemp Cartel. Okay.
Look, and I was going to ask that question because you guys were talking about smoking. And I mean, I know with I had a CBD pen and I didn't like it. Like, I kind of felt like it was weird. And so, therefore, it's just like with some of those e-cigarettes, you're pretty much saying that you have to be careful because you might not actually be smoking what you think you're smoking.
Right. Just like with the marijuana pens. Yes, that vitamin E looks just like THC. So I don't know if y'all saw that, but it was a big situation with Juul, but these people are putting vitamin E in a lot of these pens and getting people extra sick. And or even to death, leading to death. But that's the trouble with the black market. Most people are comfortable with where they got and getting their marijuana, and they don't even know. Like, if you're not growing it, you don't know what's going on. They can put formaldehyde, all kinds of different things on it, and have you high, and you don't even know that you're getting addicted to some substances in the cannabis plant that were not there, like foreign substances that people step on it with. They just try to cut it. Yeah, you just got to be real careful, because it's a lot of people trying to make money. It's a $500 billion industry right now. So people aren't really jumping into it. I don't even say it's $500 billion. That's more marijuana, but it's more of it's getting to be about a $1 billion industry at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Martha Stewart just jumped in the industry. She has an oil. I think Snoop is even involved.
Snoop got her inside that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then Brett Favre is in there. Brett Favre, y'all know he is. His people call me today, and they're going to do a promo next week, because he has a post-workout type of salve that you can rub on. So, you're getting all these people into the industry selling products.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's all about money, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about money. Even the legalization, that's, like you were saying, the industry, it's a $1 billion industry. And so the government, we want a piece of that, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. They want a piece of the pie that they can put half the population in prison for.
Yeah, it's a saturated industry at this point. When we first got in, it wasn't as racial. I'm just going to keep it honest with you, because it wasn't that many people that had it. So we had a lot of customers from everywhere. But then when they started getting the gas stations and everybody say, I'm opening up, now it's everywhere. And so, it's an industry, but it's early. So you really have to wait till the major players come out of this, meaning people that could, that could stabilize themselves and get a toehold in the market. Is what most people are trying to do. So there's a lot of opportunity in it, but it's not. But you have to really just know that it's a risk. Whatever you do, if you're into it for just the business aspect and not the medicinal, or you're there for, to help people. Some people are there for that, and some people are there for the money, if they can get it. Right. But it's a saturated market in a lot of places, because it's everywhere.
Well, we all in it for the medicinal, for the fact that we all suffer from some type of something. Yeah. But I was going to ask you, so when you got into the hemp business, was it, did people look at you some kind of way for doing it? Because, like, with those who smoke weed, everybody look at you some kind of way when you smoke weed. It's just like, oh, you smoke weed type of thing. No. So when you got into the was it the same effect?
Oh, to this day, it's just funny because the culture is all geared towards the THC. So when people look at CBD, like, oh, that's Reggie. You know, that whole Reggie thing. You go hear Reggie this, Reggie that. Right. So you get that ignorance. It's an ignorance level. Our people, I really wanted to, our people to be at the forefront of an industry is another reason I got in, because we don't control any industries or any distribution networks. And so we carteled it. You know, we put the cartel into a more positive light and try to, you know, network from that perspective. And I'm just saying, I think it's very important that our people educate ourselves, because we are so left behind in every area of life. And absolutely. So that's one of the areas. People, they didn't know about CBD and the medicinal purposes. And so a lot of our elders in particular, I'm just so happy that some of them are getting the opportunity, that some of our grandparents who might have died didn't get that, you know, this medicine that you can get now without having to go on prescription drugs.
Right.
And all the aches and pains. Y'all got grandmas who say to Arthur, you know, I'm Arthur, my friend. So arthritis is different. It's treated actually more intensified with CBD. So, you know, all those creams that your grandma used to have, if you put CBD in those same creams, it becomes even more effective. And so that's what's really, you know, the paradigm is changing. And so it's going to be a part of our society, but it's just our people are, we always are behind, especially in, you know, some of the smaller cities. We get very far behind on the curve, and other people are just moving, you know, past us.
Right. Do you see marijuana becoming legal across the board relatively soon, or do you think it's going to be a while before it's legal everywhere?
I think it's going to be a while, and it's going to also now it's going to depend on who the next president is, because if it becomes legal federally, then it opens up the floodgates for all the states to make their own rules.
Oh,
okay. So right now, if you were to get in the industry of marijuana, I would go to Detroit or to Michigan, because they have a better system. It's less expensive, and you can do other things than have a dispensary. You can have, you know, you can do edibles. You can actually get in the market and sell different products and not be stuck with trying to pay the exorbitant fees that's associated with it. But I think, you know, it's only for, I think more medicinal is going to be first pass, and it's going to be a few years. And it's going to depend also on the political dynamics on who's in office.
Right.
Right. Hopefully one day we can see weed being sold in our local Walgreens and CVS stores.
I don't know. It's going to eventually happen. But see, you know, I'm telling you something. Walmart is actually waiting, because what happens is these big companies come in, then the smaller companies such as myself and others, if you don't have a toehold in the industry, you're going to get wiped out, because they're going to, you know, Walmart, they come in, the price is going to be so low. It's going to be ridiculous, and then the product right. might not be good. You know, it's a medicine, so you don't really want to get, you know, all your medicine from places like Walmart, things of that nature, because you don't know, it's going to be GMO. All that's going to happen. You're going to have this stuff just getting dominated by the big players who can afford, you know, to modify the plants and make them grow faster than God intended them to. So then you're going to, you know, that really can significantly impact people's health. When you start getting GMOs and, you know, modified nutrition into your body.
So I got a question. So I feel if the government go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say I'm buying my whatever it is, if it's weed or whatever, I'm buying it with Mr. 414 hemp. You know what I'm saying? That's where my black dollars are going. And we all should too. Forget Walmart and all those other bullies in the industry. We gonna keep our money in black hands.
I was just wondering, like, if the government, well, they already have their so-called hand with them making the medicinal weed, but if the government legalizes it, I want to make sure I say this right, legalizes it, then all these other companies try to get their hand in it. Do you see them putting something else in the weed, making it, whether it's weed, CBD, hemp, putting something else in it to, like, I guess, stretch it or make it their own, which could probably potentially mess up the strain?
Well, yeah, it happens all the time because it's all about money over people. It's profit over people, not people over profit. So any way you can profit, they're going to, you know, it's going to be some shortcuts. And if it's not regulated, then it's really a lot of shortcuts. And that's why people jumped in. That's why they want to jump in the industry like that, because they know if vitamins have never been regulated by the FDA, you can imagine there's only one CBD product that the FDA has actually approved of. It's called Epilex, and it's a hemp. It's a hemp, or it's a CBD product that's actually, for them, they're saying that it's legal for doctors to prescribe it. But it doesn't mean it's better. It's just that they're able to negotiate with the FDA and have some political money behind them. But yeah, if it's unregulated, it's going to be like vitamins. You're just going to know the good brands that do stuff for you and the ones that are not. So it's going to be a lot of risk taking going on with people and the consumers.
Okay. So I have a question. You being put up in a position where you do own a hemp store, is that an easy transition when weed does become legal? Are you set up to be able to distribute and, you know, sell marijuana?
Yes, definitely. And it's just something, you know, I have to consider if it's worth doing. But one thing it does is it creates a lot of employment. You know, we actually are creating jobs that didn't exist. You know, you have people you ever heard of a bud tender? It was a bartender. Yep. Now it's bud tenders. Yep. So yeah, you're getting these different jobs. You have baking, you have distribution, you have, you know, the internet team, you have different sales positions. It's a lot that can happen, you know, from products creation. So I think it's just a good thing overall when it comes to it, as far as what it can do to, you know, increase industry and help people get employment and opportunities.
Okay. Thank you.
That's right. That's wonderful. I'm like, 414 going to have a CBD cook-off or something. He just made me hungry talking about food. That short little bit of time made me hungry. I'm so serious.
Our smoked turkey and collard green egg rolls in CBD. That's, man.
Oh, wait.
What'd you say about smoked?
Yeah, at the cafe, you know, I would say next month, you're going to hear more about smoked turkey and collard greens, or even vegan cooked dishes that are in CBD oil. Pretty good stuff. And it's relaxing, and it's cooked in, for instance, olive oil or canola, and it's pretty heart healthy. And, you know, people, they like it. Did y'all see that movie called Trap? I'm sure somebody saw that movie with T.I. and Mike Epps.
Oh, yeah, I love that movie.
Yep, okay, I saw that movie with the chicken.
We got a chicken just like that. We got a Trap House chicken, too, with CBD.
What?
And it's pretty interesting.
Look, you just made me hungry. I'm over here like, I'm hungry now. Like, let me get me some CBD fried chicken and French fries. Mm-hmm.
And that's so going to be open next month? That's going to be open next month. Where is that location?
It's on 2225 North of Humboldt, which is Humboldt and North Avenue. Okay. And I definitely invite you out. I'm sure.
Yes. Please do.
Yes.
Yeah.
We,
and live we, music. Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question from our Facebook page. One of our listeners wants to know, where can they find the location that has the coffee? So okay. I'm pretty sure we could have asked Dr. Rogers that, but we're going to leave it up to you.
The coffee, you can actually get a cup of coffee at the cafe, or you can go and buy your own bags of coffee or the K-Cups. They're available at the cafe, but also at the new store, the Highly Edibles, which is on King Drive, 2714 North King Drive, which is King Drive in the center.
All right. I'm typing that in. North, yeah. 2714 North King Drive.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is crazy. I just got hungry. It's like we talking about marijuana.
Yeah.
I'm like, we just talking about it, and I just got the munchies.
I was done with the collard greens. Y'all know how I'm like.
Smoked turkey and the collard greens. I'm like, yes, I'm that in my life.
We're going to be knocking at your door for them smoked greens. Yeah, them collard greens. Yeah, we like to eat.
That's beautiful.
Definitely.
It'd be so
I know we're approaching the last moments of the show, and of course we want to thank you, Mr. McGee, for, you know, sharing our panel and being on here and educating our guests about, you know, this plant that a little of us know so much about. Do you have any last minute remarks or anything like that? We of course want you to, you know, give us your information, all of your plugs, your social media networks, and everything. I know you don't accept everybody on Facebook. That's an insider. But we definitely want you to give your information so they can find you. You said something about Uber. You said something about a whole bunch of stuff. Can you just recap all that?
Okay. Well, you can reach us, and I appreciate all your sisters for inviting me. It's a humbling experience. I hope I was able to provide some information that was useful, and you know, the more conversations and education that need to take place, I can be contacted as a resource at 414hemp on Instagram or on Facebook. You can just look at 414hemp, and you'll find pictures and information that we've been putting out there since 2018. And so if you want to contact us, that's the best way of doing it. And then if you want to order something or look around and sign up for the app, you can go to cartel.yellow, which is YELO.RED, red. And so, yeah, I just close by saying, I just hope I'm an inspiration for people to want to say, hey, I can, you know, open my own business and start an industry, because we need to create some institutions in our community. And this is one area that we can go into, but there's so many areas we can. And then I think it's just important that we start looking at cooperative, you know, economics, ways that we can have group ownership of different industries. And from, if it's real estate, whatever it is, and just start creating trust amongst ourselves and each other so we can, you know, build a sustainable future for our children.
That Kuji Chagalia cooperative economics. Now that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you got to give us the names and also the locations of the three shops. I know you said them, but we want you to say them again. And we want to know where we can get them collard greens from, because we knocking on your door. You're going to see the ladies at after 7. Yes, you're going to see us in a month when you open up.
Sounds like a plan. But we are open now for curbside and pickup at this called Hemp World Cafe. It's across from Pick and Save on Humboldt and North Avenue. And so that's a place you can pull up to anytime somebody can come out and serve you. And you can pick from different items on the app and get the discount, like I said. And then we also, our flagship store is 414 Hemp at Mayfair Mall. We're one of the few stores that's still open in Mayfair, so it's a blessing to still, you know, fight the good fight and try to, you know, beat the coronavirus. But if all fails, you have to go digital and find other ways. And then we just opened up an edible store, and it's called Highly Edibles, and that's on King Drive and Center Street.
Okay, thank you so much, Lady V. I know you got something to say. I'm in awe. Like I learned so much today. Like Maya, I know you did too.
Today I'm speechless. I'm honestly say today I'm speechless because I really wanted to do this topic, only for the fact of marijuana is just so frowned upon. Hemp is frowned upon because. Yeah. One, everybody just thinks it's one and the same, and it's not the same thing. It may come from the same plant, but they all have different benefits, or they do things differently. And like he was saying, like, we need to be educated on what it actually does. Like, I know for me, doing CBD gummies, my mom, she was just like, she really just thought I was like eating THC all the time. I'm just like, Mom, I'm not high. Like, she just felt some kind of way. And then it took for her own sister to explain to her, like, oh, no, you know, my husband bought me some CBD ointment and, you know, it helps with my muscle spasms. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, oh, really? And so then she started asking me more questions. So I just feel like even for those that are older, some of them are getting into it, but some of them are still, it's still that stigma. Mm-hmm. And until we can educate even our older and our younger, the differences between being responsible about what you're doing, we won't get anywhere. And so I really appreciate you coming on this show and, you know, just breaking it down. I wrote down some notes. I'm sorry, y'all. I wrote down notes.
Oh,
I was
trying
to, I was like, I'm like, I got to watch this movie. I need to look up this dude. Like, I just, I got to do my more, I got to do my research. Like, I can't frown upon something if I don't know all the facts about it. That was one thing that my mom always taught. Like, you can't be a certain way about something when you don't have all the facts. So this was just mind-blowing for me. Definitely I'll be at your store because we got to talk about these CBDs and me getting some coffee and some cupcakes and stuff and then trying to figure out what I should do for my hyperactive kid that feels like he's a ninja all day every day. So that's all I got to say.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I just have to say, to for you to make Lady V speechless, you did something right. This sister always got something to say. I ain't never heard her speechless. So, and then I want to correct myself. I said Kuji Chagalia, that's self-determination. It's Ujamaa, but you know what I'm saying? Yes, cooperative economics is what we need. We need to support our brothers and our sisters who own, you know what I'm saying, businesses like Brother Mike McGee Jr. You guys, if you can, go out. He's on Amazon. He's everywhere. He's on the internet. He's even doing, I mean, you can't miss him. You know he's what I'm global. Saying? Pull up, curbside, whatever. He's global. So definitely reach out, tap into those resources, support his business. And then I'm going to kick it over to my sister, Maya Marie, and then we're going to end the show. And again, brother, thank you so much for being a part of our show. We truly appreciate you.
I appreciate you all.
Absolutely. Lady V kind of just hit all the points I was going to hit, but I do want to thank you and share with us. Like Shani said earlier, I know so much that I know before. So I'm excited about what you're doing, about your business. I'm glad that you are keeping your business in the city. And, you know, anybody who's listening, you know, I definitely were encouraged to support this brother and his business. He's keeping our black dollars in the community, and that's important. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to be a customer. I can't wait, you know, to come and support your business and test out your products and try them out. I think it's good for us to be having these conversations because, like V said, you know, we can't. Marijuana, you know, THC, cannabis, CBD is all frowned upon, but a lot of people don't know the details. They don't have the knowledge. So they're just taking from what they see or what they hear somebody else saying. So I appreciate you being here and sharing with us because we actually really learned something tonight. So thank you.
That's great.
Ashe. And we're not ending. Doc Rogers, one of your number one clients, has to say something.
Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing?
Hey, Doc. What's going on?
Oh, man? Everything is good, man. You had these ladies going there for a minute. Yeah, I'm one of my brother's main customers. I definitely support these products. I've enjoyed the food. We sat down once and had a collard green wrap. Man, that was the best thing I ever tasted. Oh boy, you all gotta go try that. I'm serious. You'll not be the same.
We will.
And you know, yeah, you will not be the same. You know, Brother McGee, I didn't know you had that coffee in the K-Cups.
Yeah, we just got it in. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call you tomorrow, my brother. Okay? I will be calling you tomorrow morning. All right?
Okay, look forward to
it. That's good. That's good. Thank you so much for joining these ladies. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. We're gonna do some more stuff together.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think Mike McGee needs to... do like a dummies for a THC dummies book or something, because I got school tonight. I don't know about y'all. I got school tonight. That's why I'm so speechless.
Got school. We did.
Took us to school all night. I'm so dumbfounded on THC. I know my other half, he was listening. I'm sure he gonna be like, see, I told you. I ain't even ready for this conversation that's about to happen when I hang up this call.
All I have to say is I got 5 on it. Just kidding.
Yeah. Right. I was like, we got 5 on my CBD oils.
Yeah, it's an expensive too. So you can get it online for $25 and in store for $30. So plus you get 20% off. So your first bottle could be like $14 for 500 milligrams. That's pretty good.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Well, thank you for being on our show. Well, that is the end of us, ladies. We had a great show, and we just want to tell all listeners, listen to us next week for another dynamic show, and we'll catch you guys then.
Okay, thank you.
Good night, everybody. Good.
But I'm the type that like to light another joint like Cypress Hill. I still do be spit loogies when I puff on it. I got some bucks on it, but it ain't enough on it. Go get the STIDES. Nevertheless, I'm hella fresh, rolling joints like a cigarette. So pass it across the table like ping pong. I'm gone, beating my chest like King Kong. And some wrap my lips around the pony. And when it comes to getting another stogie, fools all kick in like Shinobi. Know me ain't my homie to begin with. It's too many hands to beat. Probably let my friend hit bit. Unless you pull out the fat crispy. $5 bill on the real before it's history. Cause fools be having them vacuum lungs. And if you let them eat it for free, you hella dumb. Da-dum-dum. I come to school with a tailor on my earlobe. Avoiding all the flick teasers, skeezers, and weirdos. Got me throwing off the land like where the bomb at. Give me $2, you take a puff and pass my bomb back. Suck up the dank like a Slurpee. The serious bomb will make a nigga go delirious like Eddie Murphy. I got more growing pains than Maggie. Cause homie snagged me to take the dank out of the baggie. I'm so keyed up till the joint be burning my hand. Next time I roll it in a hamper to burn slow, so the ashes won't be burning in my hand, bruh. Hoogies get hit, but they know they got a pitch and bent. I roll a joint that's longer than your extension. Cause I'll be damned if you get high off me for free. Hell no, you better bring your own slip cheek. What's up, don't babysit that? Better pass the joint. Stop hitting cause you know you got asthma. Crack the 40 open, homie, and guzzle it. Cause I know the weed in my system is getting lonely. I gotta take a whiz test to my PO. I know I feel cause I done smoked major weed, bro. And every time we with Chris, that fool rolling up a fatty. But the Tango Ray straight had me. Got me hung off the night train. You fade, I fake, so let's head to the east. Hit the stroll to 9-0 so we can roll big hot sheets. I wish I could fade the 8, but I'm no watchin'. Still rolling the 2, though, cut the same old bucket. Foggy window, soggy endo. I'm in the land, getting smoke with my kid. Up in smoke, yuck, I spray you laying down. Up in the OAK, the town. Homies don't play around, we down there blaze a pound. Then ease up, speed up through the ESO. Drink the BSOP up with the lemon squeeze up. And everybody's rolled up. I'm the roller that's quick to fold up. Blunt out of a bunch of sticky doja. Hold up, suck up my weed. It's all you do, kicking feet. Cause we're IVs, we need tap like a foo-foo.